have a incredible fellowship here. I was taken by part of the message that Bruce has preached here recently, referring to you as church at Philadelphia. And all I can do is say amen. But I have something I believe that the Lord would say, I have something against you. I'm truly taken by Dr. Stephen Waterhouse. I've been around enough to know and recognize expository Bible preaching when I hear it. He's among literally the finest that I've ever heard. This church should be filled to overflowing every Sunday because of the depth and the sweep of the Word of God you and I hear Sunday after Sunday. I want to encourage you. I want to implore you. I want to challenge you to reach out to those that are precious to you. My dear sweet friend, I want you to know, I believe that all that is within me, that soon that eastern sky is going to split wide open, and you and I are going to be called out to go and meet the Lord God of heaven and earth face to face. And I'm just foolish enough to think that we ought to take as many people as we can. Amen? Hey, that's a good amen. Now, I've been given a message this morning that I believe is probably the first message that I've ever heard preached in this text. And it may or may not be the one that you've heard. The title of our message this morning is The Agreement. And that hymn we just sang, and I want to thank you for that music this morning. But the hymn that we just heard talked about the triune God, God the Father, God the Son, Jesus Christ, and God the Holy Spirit. The three in one. The one in three. The great stumbling block of the nation of Israel. And here you and I are basking in His presence. Understanding the mystery of godliness. And all you and I can do is say, thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, but because of you and the shed blood that you laid out there on the cross of Calvary, we have been brought near to Him. And it's in being brought near to Him that He's opened our minds and our hearts to the understanding of His truth. Brought to bear in your life by the wonderful and heavenly Paraclete, the Holy Spirit, the one that comes alongside you and I to open our minds and our hearts to a greater understanding. And so having said that, I want to talk for just a moment or two this morning about the agreement. That's the title of my message for you this morning. So if you will, turn with me in your Bibles to Acts chapter 2, and we're going to look at what transpired in the heartbeat of Almighty God, in the position of the Godhead eternally, the triune God. And He had you on His mind whenever He came together in that great and wonderful agreement that you and I have become such a part of here in the year 2023 in the time of His created existence. So in Acts chapter 2, verse 22, let's read it together. Men of Israel, listen to these words. Jesus the Nazarene, a man attested to you by God, who with miracles and wonders and signs which God performed through him in your midst, just as you yourself know, this man, delivered over by the predetermined plan and the foreknowledge of God, nailed to a cross by the hands of godless men and put him to death. But God raised him up again, putting an end to the agony of death, since it was impossible for him to be held by it. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for your word. I pray, Father, that you would speak to each and every heart. Father, it's not that we would know more about you. Quite the contrary, Father, that you would come in the power of your indwelling presence, and that we would more of you, that we would be made more like you, that our light might shine more brilliantly in the darkness that surrounds us, and that in it all, our blessed Savior Jesus Christ would be honored and glorified in every way. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. In the early months of 1945, three men met in Washington, D.C. They met to come to an agreement that would bring about the trajectory and the pathway of the United States of America and the conclusion of World War II and how they would deal with the willingness of surrender on the part of the Japanese military, the Japanese nation, and the Japanese people. Credible intelligence had told these men that extensive tunnels and massive amounts of weapons and other resources were already present and there regarding the Japanese non-surrender resolve. The three Americans agreed that B-29s would be produced and be used as long-range bombing weapons to eventually bring Japan to a place of surrender. President Franklin Delano Roosevelt, Vice President Harry Truman, and General Douglas LeMay. General LeMay was given the task of not only producing the B-29s, but putting together the military declaration of the Battle of the Marianas, where he would literally take all of those B-29s, these long-range bombing weapons, and begin to penetrate literally the homeland of Japan. General LeMay was the man to lead. Later on, men like LeMay, MacArthur, and eventually our president, Ronald Reagan, embraced a military philosophy of peace through strength. They came to that agreement in January or February of 1945. By August, President Roosevelt had passed away, and the reins of leadership had passed to Harry Truman, and it was then, and only then, he learned of the atomic weapons that the United States had produced. The rest is history. But the agreement that they came to in the early months of 1949 are still with us today in the liberties and the freedoms that you and I enjoy here in this God-blessed Republic, the United States of America. The triune God, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit came to a sovereign agreement on your behalf before anything was ever created. That's the absolute most astounding thing I've ever seen or read in my whole life. Whenever I begin to take a look at that, and I understand that the Bible says that you were saved before the foundation of the earth, I stand in amazement of what God has done. Listen to me, my sweet dear friend. Over the last 7,000 years, and here we are today still being recipients of that great and wonderful agreement that Triune God had for you and me here in this time, in this day, and in this hour. Oh, that we might not know more about Him, but that we might know more of Him. By knowing more of Him means that we would know more of Him in our closeness of a real, vibrant, living relationship with the true and living God. He ordained that from eternity past. Now, I don't like that word, eternity past. That's a preacher word. No such thing as eternity past. They're just eternity. Now, I can't remember the last time I preached here if I mentioned this to y'all or not, but eternity isn't a place. Now, Dr. Waterhouse, after this is over, if you want to challenge my theology on it, well, I'm wide open to that, but just remember, I've been sitting under you now for 3 years. Eternity is not a place, my dear friend. It's the state in which God exists. He's eternal in His existence. And how can you and I wrap our feeble little finite minds around Him? It's an altogether impossibility until you understand that He opens up to you and to me the great mystery of Godhead. So there, in the eternal existence of God the Father, who exists eternally, and Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son, who exists eternally, and God the Holy Spirit, who exists eternally, they came together in the very essence of who they were, and they came about with an agreement that is referred to in passages of Scripture that we just read as the predetermined counsel of God. My dear friend, the King James Version is a little bit more accurate whenever it tells us that it's not the predetermined counsel of God, it's the determinate counsel of God. Being the determinate counsel of God, is something that is the way that you would only be able to understand it within the triune existence of God Himself. Notice what it says in John chapter 17, verse 22 through 24. The glory which you have given me, I have given to them. Now, them is His disciples. Them are those who would believe the disciples that would come after them. That's we and us. That's me and you. He says here, that may come one, that the glory which you have given me, and I've given to them, that they may be one, just as we are one, and in them, and in you and me. And listen to this now, that they may be perfected in unity. Let's stop for just a second. Some of you are sitting there wondering, preacher, what in the world is he talking about? I just think he sent the Holy Spirit in the world so that you might know Him truly and forwards are bending the edge. But there's still feelings about it. That's why that dear blessed man that we've got as a pastor went to school with the Billy Gunn guy. That's why God moved in the power of the Holy Spirit to lead you to be a part of this church and to come attentively to listen to the truth of the Word of God that is immutable and irrevocable for you and me. And we would know more about Him. We would know more of Him. That the impact and the truth of who He is would literally change and govern you in the direction of your life. That's what He was praying about there in John chapter 17. So that the world may know, so that the world outside may know that you sent me and that you love them. When I think about the determinate counsel of God and what we're going to look at before we go home today, I want you to know that Almighty God became so wrapped up in a cloak of darkness so that you and I would never have to experience that. I want you to know something. All you and I can do is say, thank you, Father. Praise His holy name for what He's done for you. We may be perfected in unity, and that the Father loved us even as ye have loved me. And He goes on to say, and I desire that they also whom you have given be with me where I am, so that they may see my glory which you have given me, for you love me. Oh, I love this stuff. From before the foundation of the world. Now, whenever you're joining me in that attempt to find out how it was I got saved before the foundation of the world, the only thing I can say is this: the day that you said yes to Jesus Christ, the day that you repented of your sin and you sold out to Him, that moment in time, you literally step in to eternity itself, which is in the bosom of God the Father. Wow. I'm overwhelmed by the idea of the determined counsel of all God for me and for you. Permanent counsel of Almighty God did three things. First, He created everything that there was of us created. I was blessed to teach the youth this morning. We talked this morning about creation. Pray for those kids. Pray that they'll understand and grasp the mystery and the depth and the very essence of the fact that God has created everything that there was of us created and that Jesus Christ was the instrument of creation. Granted us for His purposes and for His purposes. The second thing He did is He endured the fall of man in the sin. I don't like it whenever people talk about the way God did things because of the foreknowledge of God. Well, I'm going to tell you, yes, that's true. And it is true. But you see, I think that's a gimme. Yes, He's omniscient. He knows everything that there is to know. He's omnipotent. He's all-powerful in every possible way. He's omnipresent. He's in the secret conversation that you have that you think nobody else sees. He is omnipresent. So whenever they say, well, it's according to His foreknowledge, I go, well, of course it was. But my friend, I want you to know something, that it was an expression of His love to man for His purpose and His plan and His eternal glory. Amen? Oh, that He might be glorified not only here today in Amarillo, Texas, but tomorrow in the same way in which you live. And the day that you die when you're with heaven and you see Him face to face, and when He comes again and all of the earth and all of creation bows before Him in glory and majesty and power, because He alone is worthy of it. And listen to the Word of God from the earliest book of the Bible, the book of Job. Where were you when the sons of God heard the stars as they sang to the sons of men? You know what, my sweet Calvin, sin, that's good literature. Let me tell you something, more than good literature. They went back with the space program and they found out that the two solar stars that are at one pole and the other pole and they're emanating sound waves that are going into outer space now. They used to be perfectly aligned across the oceans of the Earth. And as the Earth turned on its axis, those sounds collided, and what that mankind had was a holy alarm clock every morning. Oh, that's not good literature. That's the truth of Almighty God. It really, really matters. So God asked Job, where were you when the morning star sang to the sons of God? Where were we? I can tell you. We were residing in the very heartbeat, in the very essence of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit in eternity when they agreed to save you and redeem you, and you were saved from before the foundation of the world according to the omnipotent plan of the triune God. Not pre-determined. It's not post-determined. It's the determinant counsel of God because it was His pleasure. It was His will. It was your and my self. For everything ever existed. Not in what we call eternity past. God. He goes on elsewhere. He says, can you chain the stars of the Pleiades or the cords of Orion? Can you lead forth a constellation and see? He created all of the stars. He named them one by one, and He hasn't lost one of them. That's the God we're talking about. Amazing. Innocent. Amazing in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amazing in the indwelling comforter, the paraclete, the one that comes up alongside of you to dwell within you, to dispense godliness into your heart and your life. And you, my sweet dear friend, by Him have been sealed against the day of redemption. Say that. Get up. So, turn with the Bible. The back. Turn over to God. Matthew chapter 27, verse 45. Matthew 27, verse 45. And I'll look at it for just a second. Remember Jesus when He was in the Garden of Gethsemane? And He was there. The Bible says that He was in such agony that He was stripped, sweating, dripping drops of blood, crying out, oh, Father, let this cup pass from me. But nevertheless, let Thy will be done. How many of you have seen the veterans? You know? How many of you have seen man face death with no fear? Because they were dying for something noble and right. Yes, we're not talking about Jesus facing death. We're talking about Jesus facing something so horrible and so beyond our understanding that we can never really wrap it around our heart. And here it is. As He was crying out, oh, Father, but nevertheless, let Thy will be done. And here's what He's talking about. Now from the sixth hour darkness fell upon the land till the ninth hour. From noon until 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Hollywood doesn't do it service. They have storms, lightning, cloud. You know what the prophecy of Amos says? The sun will not give its light on a clear day. The Prince of Glory was out there hanging out there on that cross, and he literally became sin for me and you. And when that happened, mysteriously, the Trinity was dissected, and he was left out there alone. That man is the determined counsel of God. 3 days later, victorious over sin. He became victorious over sin, death, hell, and the grave. And he made the pathway open for you, isn't it, sweet friend? So that you would never ever experience that kind of darkness in your life nor in eternity, because the price he paid there on Calvary for you. What did I do? Gosh. Oh my Lord. What did you do out there that day? What did you do? Yeah. Let's move forward, and I want to turn with you. Look at Psalm chapter 33. Psalm chapter 33. Notice what it says, verse 11. Psalm chapter 33, verse 11. The counsel of the Lord stands forever. The determinate counsel of Almighty God stands forever, my dear friend. The plans of his heart from generation to generation to generation. And here we are this morning, the recipients of that plan in perpetuity. Someone told you about Jesus. Someone led you to Jesus. Someone in your family. Someone in your heritage. From generation to generation to generation, the plan of God will stand. Blessed is the nation. God. Notice verse 13. The Lord looks from heaven and sees all the sons of men. From his dwelling place he looks out on the inhabitants of the earth, who fashions the hearts of them all. He who understands all their work. There you see the plan of Almighty God that has been brought to bear in their life. Thank you, my dear sweet pastor, for inviting me to be here with you this morning. Let's stand with every head bowed. Our Father, we want to thank you for the determinate counsel of who you are and sovereignly all that is done for us, the redeemed, the sheep of your pasture, for you, our great shepherd. May you bring to bear in each of our lives a greater understanding and a more brilliant presentation of you, the true and living God, revealed in the power of our Son, of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. And musicians, this is a